Javier Ortiz is the general manager for California for Latino Media Network. It's a job that he's just taken in the last few months, and he's got lots of interesting things to do, including one of the great sports entities in radio in all of America and has been for decades. That's the Los Angeles Dodgers Spanish Language Radio at KTNQ. If you know anything about media in California or Los Angeles or anything about media in the country, you should recognize that, those call letters, and you should recognize a gentleman named Jaime Harin, who has retired before Javier can take over. All right, that's a long-winded introduction for a young man who I've known since he was a teenager, a college football player at San Jose State, and he's done all kinds of interesting things over the years, working for professional sports teams, radio, television, anything and everything related to the media. Javier, it's an absolute pleasure to chat with you.
Absolutely, John. Always great to connect with a great friend like you, and it really has been a full circle moment for me because I started in sports marketing right after San Jose State. I got to play college football, as you know, and I got to represent the Spartan Radio Network right afterwards. And I know you and I remember being at an LSU game and being your spotter and being that guy that's pointing out, hey, this is the guy that made the tackle. Hey, this is the guy that just ran for 50 yards. And so I was learning so much about radio and play-by-play from you, from the legendary John Schrader. And so I remember those times and being at LSU, being at the Colorado Buffaloes where Deion Sanders is at, and seeing those matchups and seeing the behind the scenes of when I was a player and all that goes behind doing what we do to make sure the listeners have access to the games on their radios, which is so important in sports. And also if there was any TV broadcast doing the same exact thing. And so it just something that I really fell in love with. And so I'm really happy that I got to do sports marketing at the beginning of my career. And I went from San Jose State and I got hired by a sports marketing agency that represented different colleges, and I had the chance to go to Florida State, do the same exact thing for the Bobby Bowden TV show and radio show, and be part of their national championship run and be part of a Heisman Trophy winner. And then I moved down to South Florida, did the same thing with the Miami Dolphins, the Miami Hurricanes radio network, the Miami Marlins, used to be the Florida Marlins, and really do the things with the NHL, with the Panthers. It's like this big sports radio network. And it was just a lot of fun. And then I became an AE / sports specialist for the local ABC station selling ABC sports for a number of years in Miami. And just really seeing how big sports were and what our advertisers got out of it and doing promotions and doing branding and doing all the different things that they do to have that imagery that goes along with being a part of a major sports team, whether it's college or professional. And I took all that knowledge that it really helped me grow faster, in my opinion, because I had that conceptual mindset from the beginning of what sports are and the creativity that goes behind putting together a sports deal. And we moved back to California to move back near my wife's parents and be closer to them. And I got to do some more work with the Raiders. I got to be a general manager for Univision TV on the West Coast. And I got to do some work on the World Cup. And I did a major promotion with one of our agencies and from A to Z put everything together. And that World Cup promotion was ranked as the number one sports promotion in the United States, Hispanic promotion that they put together that year for the World Cup, and had to deal with the lawyers from FIFA. And I've learned that there's been a lot that you have to read a lot of contracts when you're putting together the bigger the deal, the more letters there are on the contract. And that's one thing I've definitely learned. And so I almost feel as if someone is interested in a law degree or they have a law degree, getting into this type of work or this field of work is a really cool, neat thing. And I think I've taken some basic law classes through college and having that understanding of how things work and put things together. And of course, you have your own legal counsel, our own lawyers that do a fantastic job. Latino Media Network, we have a wonderful lawyer that she reviewed everything along with the Dodgers legal counsel for this newest deal. And it's something where you start to see all the pieces to come together of a lot of conversations.
So was it conscientious on your part? Was it planned part of your plan to try to learn as much about everything? You talk about college and then the NFL and then Major League Baseball and in South Florida and then in California, and you've worked in Vegas. Was this all part of the plan? I got to learn as much as I can as soon as I can.
You know what? I think it's just part of my journey. I didn't really particularly say, hey, I'm going to work in Spanish language media, or I'm going to work for this NFL team, or I'm going to represent the rights. It's just different opportunities that have come at different times. I actually had a regional manager role, and this is for all you kids at home that sometimes you can't control everything. My job was eliminated, and they knocked on my door and said, Javier, the economy of 2008, 2009, which affected a lot of people, your role is going to be eliminated, but we have another role that might work for you if you're interested. And that role didn't work because I was already starting my family at the time. And that was another part of the reason that we ended up going from Florida back to California for a manager role. And I felt like I was going up in my career on the manager role. So I got all that sports knowledge, but the necessity of having a family and having an opportunity to do what I love instead of working in a different industry, I was still able to work in my industry. But sometimes you have to, as they say, move out to move up. And I felt like it was a good move on my part because I get to be closer to family and friends and do what I love and sell TV for a TV station that was in the Bay Area again. And I was really happy to work there and do some things and stay with that company for about 4 years. And then I got recruited to go work in Spanish language for the first time. And I went from being a VP of sales, and 6 months later, got promoted to being the general manager. Very early in my career, I was about maybe 37, 38 years old at the time when that all happened. So I got a lot of responsibility at an early age and really got to understand what's going on with a lot of different places. And so it really was just more about opportunities arising through my career that I've been able to touch upon TV, radio, NFL, Major League Baseball, you name it, I've got to sell it.
Not to get too far in the weeds, Javier, but is there something that it's sort of, I don't know, the contrast of English language media and Spanish language media? You know, maybe the question is better, what is the sort of the hallmark, the template of Spanish language media, if it's different than English language media?
I would say that there's definitely maybe some preferences in maybe the different audiences that you're going to be, if you do some type of ratings information. But, you know, let's say soccer is huge in the Latino community. And maybe it's not as big with the general market, which is the English language, like MLS. I remember the San Jose, it used to be called the San Jose Clash before the San Jose Earthquakes.
And don't I know, Javi. I was their announcer, man. Don't I know?
There you go.
The Clash.
Yeah. They were so hungry to capture that audience in San Jose. And they worked with me when I was at San Jose State on their very first fan fest. And we did a sports fan fest, and it wasn't really well attended. And we did it kind of right before a San Jose State game in our tailgate zone to help promote them, help get their name out there. And it just wasn't really catching on. And that was 1996, 97, 98, after I was done playing, maybe 98, 99 was when that happened. So you're looking at almost 23, 24 years ago where the MLS was. And where San Jose is now, they have this big, huge following. But it's more the English language folks now. They didn't have that audience. So it's taking time to catch up to that crazy fanatical passion that the Latinos have for soccer all over the world. So that's where I'd say the media is a little bit different. But let's say baseball. Baseball's always been very well followed by English language as well as with Spanish language. And so our audience that we pulled some research, some Scarborough research, shows that we have a huge database of fans that follow the Dodger broadcast every single year. It's the most popular brand that's in LA. And there's a lot of teams in LA going with the Lakers, which are awesome. And there's the other Major League Baseball team there with the Angels. And you have everybody else in between that's trying to capture that audience. But when it comes to the Latino fan base, it's almost half of the Dodgers fan base are Latinos. So it really is big on listenership, viewership, merchandise sales, all that important. The Latinos are a very important part of the LA market and the LA Dodgers market. And that's why we're excited to be a part of that.
I'm going to say this, and you have absolutely no obligation to respond to it, but the irony I found always in the popularity of the Dodgers among Latino Spanish-speaking people is that basically the city of Los Angeles took the neighborhood away from the take a Latino neighborhood away from them in Chavez Ravine to build the stadium. And those are facts. That's not an editorial comment. Those are facts. And you know, so I've always found it interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's something that you definitely bring up. It's no mystery to anyone. It's nothing that's hidden with the way things got started. And there was a rough beginning between the Latino market and the LA Dodgers and how all that conspired. And I really do look back at that was like, I think the mid 50s. Mm-hmm. I think it was a different time, different place. And I think there's a lot of things in our history that were wrong, that were done the wrong way, that should have been done maybe in a better way. But that's just the way things are. And I think the Dodgers have done a tremendous job of rebuilding that connection with their market, with LA, with making sure that they, as a way, I guess, maybe right the wrongs of the past. And I think a lot of people have done that. And so it's something that I don't think really is holding Latino audiences back, because they're looking back at what happened in the 50s. I think the Dodgers have done a huge amount of work in the community, in the Latino community, to do really good things and to really be a positive force and to have that great representation of what it means to be a Dodger fan and what it means to be the Dodgers. And so I think it's something that if you take yourself down the road of that type of history or that past, you can get yourself into a really different type of mindset. But I think it's a very positive mindset, a very positive experience that everyone has had with the Dodgers through the years, especially myself. I grew up a Dodger fan, and I remember going there for Little League night all the time and really getting excited about it as a little kid. And to be able to represent the Dodgers now, it's really, like I said, a full circle moment for me to be able to represent them with so much passion and pride about what they represent for the community and the amount of money they've donated back to different organizations and groups and giving away tickets and merchandise. And so it's really, like I said, you have to be part of the community. And that's what I've been happy about being a part of the media. And now with the Dodgers is that we will be doing different community initiatives to reach out to the entire LA community and also more specifically, some underserved Latino communities that we're going to work together to make a better connection and make sure that they understand what is available to them when it comes to maybe going to a game or scholarships or whatever it may be. So we're excited about what's to come with our partnership with the Dodgers.
Javier Ortiz, the cat's out of the bag now. He's a Los Angeles native who's now the California, General Manager California for Latino Media Network, which includes three FM stations in Fresno and the legendary KTNQ radio in Los Angeles. I'm John Schrader, and this is Watch the Media. So Latino Media Network is a company that made a huge splash a couple of years ago when it was created, got some pretty serious funding. They were very aggressive in buying radio stations all over America. It is run by mostly all women, not all women, but the senior management positions of Latino Media Network are women, Latinas. And so give me a little bit of an idea of who Latino Media Network is, and then I'll talk a little bit about how that impacts you and the kinds of things you're doing.
So I can't say enough great things about the wonderful ladies that founded the company who I've met, had some really good meetings with. When we were putting together our Dodgers deal, they rolled up their sleeves and they really helped impact the partnership and everything that we have with our overall mindset and really setting the culture for the entire company. Stephanie Valencia, Jess Morales Roqueto, they are the founders of Latino Media Network, and they went out, did some research and found that there's more that can be done for the Latino market, the Latino community. And they bought some radio stations from Univision, Televisa Univision, and they put this deal together a little over a year ago, year and a half ago, and they started putting together what we call as a dream team of different folks in different markets. And so we feel really happy that we have our CEO, Silvia Banderas Cofinet, and she has been an outstanding leader for us to really give us the strategy and the mindset that we need to be successful. I have the person I work with a lot, my supervisor, and her name is Rosie, another very smart, strategic Latina that I'm working with. But then we also have a gentleman named Mark Manahan. He's our president slash CFO. We have Ken Wilkie, who's our chief technology officer. So we have a few guys in there too, you know, but we have some very, very wonderful women. And as a guy who has three daughters and a wife, I know exactly how it is to work really well with women that have great passion for what they do and really are smart and strategic and really excited about making things better for everybody. And that's what I feel. I feel a lot of love that comes from the top. And other places that I've worked at, you don't really get that necessarily. You don't get that type of culture or that type of mindset of what we're trying to do, of what is really best for you. We have our people, talent, and culture team with a wonderful lady named Olga Patarroyo. She is really working with her team, Steph Salazar, Miss Mejia, everyone that is really working on making sure, okay, do we have everything in place to make sure that our culture is going in the right direction as a company? That is far more important than anything else with the Dodgers or anything else, is making sure that our culture is a really good place to be. And then everything else falls into place. Yeah. And we have probably we're probably one of the biggest producers of sports radio in Spanish of any company in the country. I have my counterpart, Santiago. He heads up our strategic partnership with sports. He does a fantastic job with our teams where we do the play-by-play for the Texas Rangers. We have the White Sox. We have the Marlins. And then we also work with the San Antonio Spurs. We've worked with some MLS teams. We've worked with some, don't hold me to it, I believe the Rockets as well in Houston. So there's a lot of different teams that we're working with throughout the country on their Spanish radio play-by-play partnerships. And really, and then of course with the Dodgers, you know, we've expanded the Dodger network. When I came on board, not just KTNQ, but we have our station in Las Vegas and in Fresno, where we just start off our spring training games a couple of weeks ago. And we had those games broadcast in each of those markets, which was fantastic to expand the Dodger network into those very important key areas.
Yeah, and ask you about the Dodgers in just a minute here, but we know that the number of people identifying with Latino heritage in this country is growing immensely. We also know that the generations, first and second generations, speak English. So who's the audience for Spanish language media now, and how does that sometimes coincide with people who also consume English media?
So I'll take myself for example, where I'm in that key demo of adults 25 to 54, and I grew up consuming a lot of English language television and radio, but I am really connected to my Latino culture. I love the music. I love the food. I love following the athletes. I love following everything that there is with the Latino culture. And I think that's what you're finding a lot more of, is that people will consume, and that's what I found through the years of representing Spanish language TV, Spanish language radio, is that you'll have this market that is growing, that's educated, that has money, that goes out and they buy insurance for their family. They buy homes. They buy luxury vehicles. They go on vacations. They buy clothes. This Latino market is huge, and it's growing by leaps and bounds from where it was before. So we're starting to see that other major corporations are taking notice of that and trying to communicate to them. And you can communicate to them in English and in Spanish. And it's a little tricky sometimes, but I think the one thing that brings a lot of people together are sports. And sports really is one of those things where it's very special, and people will see a lift in their brand awareness, and they'll see a lift in their sales, and they'll see a lift in their traffic visits to their websites and all the different promotions I've done with Spanish language media. I've seen all that as a direct result of these advertisers say, you know what? It is a smart move for me to spend $1 here, and I'm getting $2 or $3 back, or maybe $5 or $10 back in my ROI, because they're cornering a market that's been somewhat ignored by every single advertiser that's out there. So I've run into that myself. I've been able to sell, you know, where I've been the head of sales for the English language stations, and I've also been the head of sales for the Spanish language station. I would just say that sometimes that Spanish language station, you have to work a little harder to really tell your story because not everyone's sold on it. And that's where having really good research to back up what you say, and then they see the results. And once they're in, then they start to say, you know what? You were right. This is good. I'm going to dedicate a little bit more money towards this medium. And I'm starting to see more and more people come in to buy cars, to buy clothes, to buy food, go into a supermarket. It's really all these different categories that are learning more and more of how important the Latino market is to their overall bottom line.
So what is the story, if there's a general story to be told, of let's go a little bit younger, 25 to 35 or 18 to 34, people who maybe first generation Americans, maybe not. What is the kind of story of this generation of young people who speak both Spanish and English?
I think there's always been this entrepreneurial spirit that you find in the Latino families. I come from a family of two entrepreneurs. Both my parents own their own businesses my whole life. And I think that's kind of passed down to the next generation of that younger 25 to 34, upwardly mobile, highly educated Latino market. I think you're having more Latinos go to college. They see that that's opening doors for them to get better paying jobs, to make a better lives for themselves. And like I said before, that they are buying more things where maybe before the income level wasn't where it need to be with some of the Latinos, but it is growing. Every single year is getting bigger and better for Latino market. So as a Lexus buyer or versus a Toyota buyer, it still is going to cost you a pretty good amount of money to buy a Toyota or a Lexus. But can the Latinos buy it? Yes, they absolutely can. Can they go out and buy a house? Yes, they can do that. Can they go out and buy a 7-day cruise? Yes, they can do that too. So I think that's the difference of what's going on with the 25, 34 age group, is that they're more educated and their pockets are filled a little bit more cash for these advertisers to try to draw them in. And you have to speak to that audience. If you speak to them, and you can speak to them in English or in Spanish, but you definitely have to speak to them. And I think when you speak to them in Spanish, I remember speaking to a young lady one time. She's saying, you know what? I grew up watching a certain channel, or I grew up listening to the Dodgers radio network. This is very interesting. I listened to the Dodger games in Spanish with my family in the car or on the radio at home. And I like to consume it in Spanish better than I do in English, because it just takes me back to the way I grew up and the way I feel more comfortable consuming the media. And that's the thing that probably is interesting for all these advertisers to realize that. But then you also got to layer in, they're also more digitally savvy too.
Yeah.
So you also got to hit them with the digital advertising, so they not only hear you, but they also see you on their mobile phones. And that's another big area for that younger generation that's using their cell phones a lot more to consume the advertising. So you have to hit them on both fronts with the digital as well as with the radio.
So let's be clear with the people who are listening to us now. These are young people who were born here, who've never lived anywhere else. These are young American-born first-generation people you're talking about, correct?
Correct. Like I said, I use myself as an example. Mm-hmm. I was born in Los Angeles. But growing up, I remember traveling and listening to KTNQ and listening to their Dodger games and it becoming a part of the fabric of my household, even though I was going to class and speaking English with my friends, talking to my friends, playing sports with all my friends in English. What I was doing at home when it came to consuming radio and TV, a lot of it was in Spanish. And so that's why I think I mentioned before that I really enjoyed my Spanish language media and Spanish language culture, because it is a part of me. And that's what you're finding with this younger generation. Even though they're born here, it is all part of their upbringing and their household. And you don't lose your roots and you don't lose your background just because you were born here. It's to me, a wonderful, beautiful thing to be able to explore and learn and enjoy eating a Spanish dish or an American dish. I grew up eating both and enjoying both. And same thing when it comes to media. I got to enjoy both sides of the spectrum. So it's a lot of fun to be able to grow up in that type of environment.
Okay, I don't want to be presumptuous here and I don't want to speak out of turn here, but your parents were both from Dominican Republic, correct?
Correct, yes.
And so what's the best dish What's the best food in Dominican? What's the best Dominican dish?
You know what? It is really, if I need to pick my favorite dish, it's what they call the Dominican flag. And in Spanish, they call it La Bandera Dominicana. It's rice, beans, chicken, or it could be steak, and some what they call plantains. They can be either fried, the sweet plantains, or the crunchy ones, which is plátanos. And so that's like the staple meal that, and if you throw in an avocado in there, oh, you're golden. It's even better.
Javier Ortiz is the general manager for California for Latino Media Network, a company that's been around a couple of years and have made quite a number of big decisions, bought radio stations. And one of Javi's jobs, if I may call you Javi, is to manage the relationship with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And you talked about the legendary Spanish language. I would guess, I should know this, I can't believe there were any others. The very first Spanish language broadcasts in America were probably the Los Angeles Dodgers back in the 50s and early 60s. Jaime Harin in the Hall of Fame for a long time. He didn't broadcast quite as long as Vin Scully, but almost. And he was there serving the Spanish language audience in Los Angeles and around the world for decades and decades.
El público está entregado totalmente al desempeño de Clayton Kershaw. Es una joya simplemente extraordinaria. Dos strikes sin bolas, dándose tiempo ahora Clayton. Su esposa muy, muy nerviosa está aquí, tomada de la mano de una vecina. Le tira, se poncha, y juego sin hit ni carrera. Acaba de lanzar Clayton Kershaw. Allá va AJ Ellis, le da un abrazo a Clayton Kershaw. Van todos sus compañeros de equipo y están amontonándose ahí frente al montículo, ahora entre primera y el home plate. Un juego simplemente espectacular que, en honor a la verdad, debía haber sido un juego perfecto. Lamentablemente, Hanley Ramírez hizo un tiro malo a primera.
It is legendary. You said it was legendary, and I know it is, and anybody who knows anything about sports and about radio knows that. So what was that like when they said, Javier, congratulations, welcome to the company. Now, here's your job. Let's go get this Dodger deal done. Okay, is that kind of the way it worked?
That's kind of how it worked. It was the first thing on my list in my first week on the job was, let's make sure we connect with the Dodgers. There was a transition of us taking over. We officially took over KTNQ a month ago. But for the last 6 months, and that was on February 1st. And so every market, whether it was Miami, Chicago, Texas, they all had their transition dates. My transition date, when we changed hands of being official owners of the station, was February 1st from Televisa Univision to Latino Media Network. And so we've been working towards this all this time. And one of the first things was exactly that. Oh, by the way, the Dodgers deal is coming up for renewal, and we have to work on that. Well, the Dodgers, they had never really heard of Latino Media Network too much versus Televisa Univision, who's been a powerhouse in the Spanish media landscape for many, many years. And it's all understandable. They need to really fill us out, understand who we were, what we're going to bring to the table, who's going to be the leader in the market, myself, and who they're going to work with. And so it really was, like I said, a great opportunity for me to see and open my eyes to how supportive our company was from the top to the bottom. Everybody pitched in some certain way, from our founders to our CEO to our CRO, our president, HR, our legal counsel, our chief technology officer, my counterpart in Las Vegas, my sales team. Everybody really put their hands into this Dodgers deal because it was very important for us to continue this partnership with the Dodgers. And like I said, the Dodgers were very good to work with. They're very thorough. They are very buttoned up as an organization. They put the whole broadcast together from soup to nuts, and they run it through us as the flagship. And they have just been really good to work with. They have everything really tightened up the way it should be. I've worked with a lot of different play-by-play teams, and they are one of the best that I've worked with through the years. And they put together a great broadcast. As you mentioned, Jaime Harin, a legendary broadcaster. He used to be with KTNQ as the voice, and now we have a team of different individuals with Pete Ingles. We have Jose Mota, and of course, the legendary former pitcher Fernando Valenzuela, who does our broadcast. And it is amazing to be able to have that in our arsenal to tell people, yeah, you're going to be a part of this broadcast that has these voices. You know, Manny Mota's son is Jose Mota.
Yeah.
And, you know, so another gentleman that is a part of it. We're putting together, you know, different things that help promote the show. We're doing tune-ins and letting people know that, hey, the Dodgers are on, and you're going to miss the game if you don't tune into KTNQ. And we're making sure that those are airing at all times in all three markets. And so I think the Dodgers were really excited about what we brought to the table. I was able to share my sports experience, so they know they're not dealing with someone that has never done sports or play-by-play in the past. And also other people on our team, Santiago and our CEO, and everyone's done something with sports in their background. So I think they felt very comfortable in that regard, and how we can connect with the Latino market and what we have planned and what we're going to do in partnership with the Dodgers. And so I think with all that, the deal was able to come together several months later. I know we were trying to get together, but sometimes these things, you know, as they say, dotting the I's and crossing the T's take a little bit longer, but we're happy we got it done.
It's my notion, and I don't have any numbers to back it up, and I probably should look them up, but it's been my notion that Spanish language Dodger games are as highly rated as English language Dodger games on the radio over the years. Am I in the right ballpark, so to speak, in that?
I would say they're very popular. As far as, you know, as I said, looking at the ratings, looking at side by side, the English language versus the Spanish language, like I said, it's something that we have to take a look at. I know that us as a company, it's a really important thing for us to promote it. I think there's more things that need to be done to promote the broadcast and let people know, as we've already started doing. And so, but the popularity is there from the Scarborough research I mentioned earlier. The numbers are really, really good as far as what we bring to the table in our Latino market that is into the Dodgers. We pulled research on people listening to Dodger games in traffic. We pulled, you know, people, as you know, LA traffic.
Thank God for traffic. Radio
is a wonderful thing.
Traffic is awesome for radio.
Yeah, not good for the people driving, but if you want to listen to your favorite team, KTNQ is going to be the place. And so a lot of people will listen in that regard. And there's traffic all day long in LA. People run and gun who can't watch every single game. So it's that companion that's with them, whether they want to listen to it on their phone, or they can listen to it on the radio.
Let me clarify my own comment there. Maybe there are more people listening in English on the radio in Los Angeles than there are in Spanish, but getting a percentage of or a share of those people who can listen to the games or would listen in Spanish is important to you. It's not that, you know, there has to be 100,000 over here and 100,000 over there. If you're getting a larger share of the 100,000 over here, you're doing a good job. That's your job, right?
Correct. And that's what we're excited to do as far as pulling more of that research. As we said, you know, we register with Nielsen, we register with Scarborough, we register with all the different folks that monitor all those different things. So we're waiting to see what we can pull at the end of the year. You know, once we have this first season under our belt, because we're working off of numbers that maybe wasn't the best representation of what the numbers could be. And so, as I said, the numbers are strong of what they're currently are. And it's impressive, but I'm looking at it and saying, you know what, with what we're going to put behind it, how much better and stronger we're going to be when we look back after a year of broadcasting the Dodgers. And the numbers that we do have, where you're looking at the audience, and I think it was 45%, almost 50% of their fan base are Hispanics with the Dodgers. So we're excited to be tied into that. And the Dodgers are equally excited from the press release that we all put together with them. We did a joint press release a couple of weeks ago that just went out, got a ton of local press as well as national press about KTNQ being the new flagship station for the Dodgers.
Do you feel like sometimes that when it comes to the Dodgers in Spanish on the radio, that you're kind of walking around with these kind of expensive jewels, and I just don't want to drop them. I want to make sure I get them from one place to the next.
You know, I think everybody knows that Dodgers are a special team. They always have been. And I think with the type of investment they made into the roster this year, we weren't even aware of some of the moves that they're making while we're talking about this. All we were going off of is how special the Dodgers have always been and how we wanted to continue working with them. And then the news of Shohei Ohtani and Yamamoto and all the different guys that that they were able to bring to the into the fold through the last 2, 3 months, it's just been mind-boggling of what they've been able to sign. So I wouldn't say that we're tiptoeing our way with the Dodgers. We definitely are just proud, very proud to represent them and very proud to be that station that they've chosen to partner with. To be part of this, what I believe it could be a very special season, if all works out.
In the early stages of this new adventure in your career, Javier Ortiz, the general manager for California for Latino Media Network and managing the Dodgers, what has been the greatest challenges of putting all this together in the last few months and weeks?
I think time, as with anything, I think finding more time to do everything because we're not just doing things with the Dodgers, but we're also hiring new talent to help boost ratings on KTNQ. We're going to do some different special focused programming that's tied in with sports and finding the right people that can be a part of all that. We're getting very close to doing that. Hopefully, in a few weeks, we'll be making another announcement of different talent that we brought on to the radio station. I think we're going to make some tweaks as well in Fresno and then also hiring a team. I'm really excited about the team that we brought together of account executives that are going to be out there to assist different advertisers and businesses out there to purchase Dodgers sponsorships, that can purchase KTNQ programming, that can purchase Fresno programming and really be a part of everything we're doing. So all those different things require a lot of teamwork. And so I'm just happy that I have a really good team that I work with. As I mentioned before, our culture is really teamwork driven and very special in that regard. So from Risa, who I work with as our SVP, and Kristen, who works with her as well, and from our entire team from top to bottom, like some of the names I mentioned before, from the founders to our CEO to our CRO, we're working on a daily basis to make sure that we have that. Along with that, making sure the connection is right. We have our team of guys, Manny Garcia, our engineer in Las Vegas, and our chief technology officer, Ken Wilkie, and Yasmin Flanagan, who also helps coordinate so much. Like I said, we have daily or by, every 2 days, some type of meeting that's dealing with the Dodgers or dealing with one of our stations or dealing with personnel. That time is of the essence. So you got to really manage your time very well to not get lost and lose time, because time is very important. So I'd say that's probably the biggest challenge, is just making sure that we're managing our time well.
So if you have time to think about it, then what are the great joys of this new adventure?
I think the greatest joy is being able to deliver something fun and exciting to the audiences that we reach. I think that's the fun part, is that we get to be a part of something very special with Major League Baseball, with the LA Dodgers, which is fantastic. We get to make a difference in the lives of our listeners with the talent we're bringing in, where we're going to talk to different folks about different important topics to the Latino community. And we're going to touch upon that on a daily basis that is going to help different people think about things differently, whether it comes to something with their nutrition, something with finance, something with some type of community affairs, sports and entertainment, a very important part of people's overall well-being, in my opinion. But it's been shown that just having that outlet and having an opportunity to enjoy sports and enjoy entertainment and to be able to win tickets, just doing more in the community or donating to a needy family, donating to groups in need and serving the community, that's what I think is going to be the funnest part, is doing all that, because it feels so good when you can give back to others and to help others and to do those kind of things. So I think we do that in a lot of different ways with sports, media, community relations, and making sure that we're doing what we can for our team too, making sure they're happy, making sure that they're in a good place, making sure that their mental well-being is is doing, you know, they're doing well on a daily basis, because it could be a grind sometimes when the time gets away from you and people are trying to find that balance between their work life and their family life, because family is so important. And that's what I think is the fun part, is trying to find a way to make our community happy, make our company happy, make our employees happy. That's the fun part.
Well, Javier Ortiz, who I first met when he was a fresh-faced, undersized running back from L.A. in the early 90s at San Jose State, to all the great things you've done since, and now the general manager for California for Latino Media Network, working with the Dodgers as well. And congratulations on all of that, and thanks for sharing it with us.
No, thank you, John. It's always great to connect with wonderful people I've met through the years, and you are definitely one of those great individuals I've got to meet. I know we still have many friends in common back at good old San Jose State.
We do.
In the industry. And so I'm just thankful to be able to reconnect with you, and just really be able to be in this position to help others and to help lead others and to be in this role. It's really, I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be part of Latino Media Network and the Dodgers, and just be able to share our story with you and your listeners. So thank you.
And we will keep an eye on you, and we will see. And hopefully you get a little bit more time to yourself soon. Maybe
we'll catch up, catch a Dodger game when you're in town. Okay.
There you go. Get me a seat. Sign me up.
Awesome.
He's Javier Ortiz. I'm John Schrader. And this is Watch the Media.